You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Welcome to Crypto and Blockchain Talk and our latest edition of ICO Insight, where we get all of the inside information about the hottest ICOs today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Crypto and Blockchain Talk. Loyalty within the whole idea of brands and brand values, being loyal to a brand, is something that more people are than not. There are even places in the world where they refer to an item by its brand or a product by its brand rather than what it actually does. So, for instance, in the United States, my mother would say, I have to vacuum the house, where in the United Kingdom, they say, I have to go and grab the Hoover, which of course is a brand, meaning that many people must be loyal to the brand. I even have heard people say, I need to go get the Dyson, which of course is a brand. So brands and the way that we respond to them and we interact with them is very important to the way that we are as consumers, and it reflects more upon just what we are searching for. It may even have something to do with the loyalty of us towards that company for other reasons. Regardless of that, today we are speaking to Richard Holmes, the CEO of Lolli. And Lolli, we're going to hear all about, but first of all, I want to welcome Richard to our podcast. Hello, Richard. How are you?
Very good.
Anything you want to say about brands and brand loyalty before we go into Lolli?
People are not really aware of their brand loyalty until you actually ask them. We've obviously done a lot of studies on this and worked with a lot of people, and people tend to forget brands. Beer is a very good example, or chocolate. But if you ask somebody, what are your 10 favorite chocolate brands, then it becomes a difficult thing for people to remember them all. So brands are spending lots of money to make you love their brand, and then you tend to forget it until you happen to be reminded again. So the marketing is going around like a hamster wheel, and that is really not very good for the consumer, nor is it for the brand, if you've constantly got to be reminded. So think of, on a brand perspective, think of brands that you used to know in the 70s, 80s, 90s, depending which generation you are, and you're not sure if the brand is still around because they no longer do much marketing. And very often you find that the brand still exists. The brand relationship is a very personal thing for users, and bizarrely enough, it's personal for the brands as well to their user base.
Absolutely. And you know, one of my favorite stories that you have ever discussed with me is the one about the drills. Can you just tell that story for the audience?
Yeah, if you're in the power tools market, we all know a bunch of power tool brands. You have your DeWalt's, your Black & Decker's, and so forth, you know, Skill. There's many of these brands. And the interesting thing is that we were on a conference call with people from Nestlé talking about Lolli. And I happened to be in a shop whilst I was on the call with them. And I said to them, look, you know, give me a name of a power tool. I'm in a shop that has power tools. Give me a brand. So the chap mentioned Makita. He said that will be the one he recommends. So I said, okay, I'm going to walk over there. And I said, look, they've now got Black & Decker, you know, and they've got DeWalt, and they've got Skill. They don't have Makita. The guy from Nestlé said, well, in that case, you know, take the one from DeWalt. That's very good. I said, now you've just proven the need for people to be able to find the brand that they are looking for, because you basically recommended to me to buy a Makita drill. And purely on the fact that I'm standing in the wrong shop, a shop that doesn't stock that product, you're essentially sending my custom, you know, for a $200 purchase to another brand. And this is what is happening to brands all the time when people forget the brand that they love, or are not made aware of it because they're actually in the wrong place, or because it hasn't been marketed to them lately, or in this case, very simply standing in front of the wrong shelves. So essentially, a brand like Makita could be spending lots of money on advertising and generating income for others. So when we were discussing that with Nestlé, they then said, well, this is exactly the problem they have in the ice cream market, where basically they and Unilever in many markets control the whole market. So they advertise ice cream on TV and the sales go up for the whole product category, because you've got a 50-50 chance of walking up to a Nestlé freezer in a shop. And if you walk to one from Unilever, you're not all of a sudden going to say, I don't want ice cream, I want a goulash. You know, you want ice cream because the weather's good, because the advertising told you you wanted ice cream. and you're going to buy the other brand. And these are very serious issues for brands, but they also have a big effect on the consumer themselves.
Absolutely. So knowing now that many millions of dollars, if not billions, are spent on marketing many products without many people even realizing that that's the brand when they go to the store they should be taking off the shelf. So tell us what Lolli does exactly.
Lolli is a location-based customer experience and customer relationship. So my relationship to Makita ought to exist in more places than just merely when I'm sitting in front of the TV and they happen to be running a Makita ad, or when I am flicking through a catalog that was put into my letterbox from a retailer that stocks Makita. My relationship with Makita ought to exist at the point that I need anything that Makita could offer me, and when I want, and most importantly, where I am. And there is one thing that people always have with them wherever they are, and that is their mobile phone, with the possible exception of, you know, when they're in the shower. But that is about it. So you always know that where the person is, that is where their mobile is. And the mobile, of course, has GPS positioning, and therefore you know where that customer is. So when that customer is looking for a product or service, or indeed specifically your brand, then what Lolli does is make sure that you can find it. Where can you find the brand you want? Which local businesses have it, stock it? Which local businesses have offers? Which local businesses have events? And what other things are there surrounding your interest, where you are at the time that you are interested? So we basically connect the customer, either the loyal customer or the potential new customer, with a brand at any location, at any, to use the marketing term, at any touch point, any point where the brand would like to touch the consumer, touch their desire for their product, remind them of their product, wish to provide a customer service, wish to make sure that they go to aisle 12 and have a look at their product. That is a brand touch point or a potential touch point. So every time you walk into a shop, you know, a decent sized store, you've got a couple of thousand brands there that would like you to find them and would like you to know that it's available. And unless you walk around every aisle with your head nodding up and down, you know, at all shelf levels and moving things around to see what's behind, you don't know what is available there. And what is most important for a brand is that you may not know that the brand that you really wanted is available in the shop next door. But just because you turned into the first shop and not into the second, their chances of that sale happening and you being able to purchase their brand equals zero. If you, in simple terms, if you're standing in front of a Pepsi fridge, you have zero chance of buying Coca-Cola.
How does that come to life in the app? Can you give an example of that? So how is Coca-Cola going to be absolutely sure you're standing in front of one of their big, beautiful red fridges rather than the red, white, and blue of the Pepsi?
The way this works is you are looking for a product or a service. By searching for that on our app or indeed then on the website, you will find the brands and the tags that are available. These are all interrelated. So if I am searching for an electric cordless power drill, then that can not only bring up a store that sells that, whereas a Google will tell you where you can find a hardware store or a DIY store, we will tell you where you can find an electric cordless power drill. But at the same time, we then will show you the results of the businesses around that sell that particular tag, which could be a product or a service. And we'll also show you the brands that are available. So you can immediately filter your search to a brand. So you go, oh, yes, Makita, that's the one I remember. Press that. And immediately it'll tell you that, you know, 4 miles away and link you through to a Google Maps and direct you to that store. And when you're going there, you're not stopping off at the first possible place that sells hardware products and DIY product, but you're actually going to the one that definitely sells Makita. The bigger your sales or distribution network, the more your sales are going to be, But to increase your sales or distribution network, you need to spend more on marketing, and then you've got to do more promotions and so forth. Now, if people are not able to find out where they can actually get the product that is being advertised, a huge amount of this marketing spend is wasted. And if you look on the advertising for new product launches, huge percentage of them fail. Coca-Cola is a good example of a company that has launched a lot of different products over the time, but many of them, I'm not saying they have failed, but they are very difficult to find. Where is the closest place that you can find a caffeine-free Diet Coke to where you are? It's really difficult.
Actually, you're making me think now. I'm trying to think, where can I find that? Okay.
And this is the problem. And now if you take this, we're now talking about normal consumer products and, you know, mid-value purchases like power tools. And, you know, the problem with power tools, as an example, is that that loss is very serious. I mean, if you buy somebody else's power tool, then you have a power tool for the next 5 or 10 years. So all the marketing that has been spent on you trying to create this desire to buy a certain brand is then sated by buying somebody else's brand, and you're not in the market for a new power drill for another 5 or 10 years. That's by which point all the marketing that was there has been wasted. You know, you end up with a brand amnesia, right? You forget about it. We are building a system so that you can literally just take a photo with using your normal camera. You don't need to use it from within the app. Take a photo of a brand or an advert, share it with the app, and it will tell you where the closest retailer is anywhere in the world. That is the creating that link, leading somebody by the hand from essentially from their sofa to the shop. You're going past all the stock shops that stock something else. So all of a sudden, the distribution network, whilst of course still important, because you're not going to drive 200 miles even for a Rolex, and certainly not for a kind of a soft drink, but the distribution network becomes less important. It is no longer down to the ubiquity of product and the availability of the product. It is down to linking the marketing, the touch point, with point of sale. And that is the discovery part of Lolli.
So in terms of the app, and then saying it doesn't matter if it's a bar of chocolate, a car, a high-end luxury watch, it doesn't matter what the price point is. Everything is going to be searchable, locatable on Google Maps through your app.
That is correct. Yeah, it can be any product and it can be found any way. If you think of most search systems, you know, a search system such as, you know, Google itself, through to the search within an Amazon store, it is all essentially based on keywords. Now, we've all grown up with this. So we ask Google and other places questions using keywords because we know that the system is built around keywords. Whereas on our system, it doesn't matter if you call Coca-Cola a soft drink or a beverage or pop or a fizzy drink. It doesn't really matter because it's not a keyword. It is you call it whatever you want. As long as the brand knows that, then they can make sure that you can find it. And that is essential. So that's why we refer to the system as tag-based rather than keyword-based.
So first of all, it's establishing a relationship with not just existing customers, but new customers. And then, of course, it's directing people to the very nearest point that they can go and get these items. It's not services. It's only product-based, correct?
No, you can do services as well. So services, brands, products, it's even product groups and such. But what is important, the relationship is one click. It is press the heart on the brand or indeed the product that you like or the service that you like. It's about personalizing that and creating lots of relationships between the customer and the brand. Because when the brand knows that you, the customer, love their brand, they can treat you like royalty. They can love you back, mm-hmm. basically. They can say, we really like the fact that we have 5,000 people in the UK that love our brand, and now we're going to be launching this new product. We're going to make an offer to those 5,000 people to go and go to the launch event, test it first, or get an introductory discount, because the people who love your brand, they're your main consumers, rather than constantly trying to attract new people. It's kind of the reverse of insurance and bank marketing available only to new customers. This is the opposite of that. It's you're a loyal customer of ours, or you are a customer who is interested in our product. You've got a relationship with us. So therefore, we're going to give you something in return for this relationship. And that might be a discount or a special or an exclusive, or the fact that you can reserve something before the normal customer can get it. And that is empowering to the consumer as well.
How are people going to be rewarded for using all of these key services that are going to be available on the app? What is it that they're going to get for using this app?
Reward is definitely the right word in this, because that is something that is appreciated. Reward is appreciated. It is also given in a way that feels good. You know, it's there's a difference between giving somebody a discount because they are a loyal customer and giving somebody a discount because they haggle for a discount.
Absolutely.
In the store, right? There's a huge difference. That is about the relationship. Now the rewards within the Lolly system. Firstly, we have rewards for people for putting this information in. Now, a brand and a retailer can, of course, say this is all the stuff that we sell, but at the same time, the consumer with the app, directly from the app, can say this store sells this, and that information is not only available then to the whole Lolly community, but it is also, and not to be underestimated, is also available for that person who added it. It's a bit of an aid memoir. The statistics are that I recall reading was that if you're going shopping for more than 8 things, make a list, because you will forget something. So anything beyond 8 in terms of shopping, people tend to forget. And, you know, where I live here in the Isle of Man, there's 4 or 5 shops that might sell similar products within a couple of 100 meters from where I am. But can I remember which one sells which brand? No. So by adding that information, I have it for myself as well as for other people. So by adding this information, they're being rewarded with our Lolly Cash points, and they can use these points to redeem them within the system. And this creates a community that benefits not just from the rewards, but from an ever-growing amount of information. And it also benefits the brands. One of the brands that we spoke to, a very, very large beer brand.
And I can't name names.
Because of the story here particularly. But we said, look, we can get you all this information, you can put all this information in where the products are available. And they came back with a very surprising question, which was, does that mean that you can tell us where our products are available? And we're going to, wait a minute, what do you mean? He says, in some markets, we have no idea where our products are available. They sold through distributors. The distributors sell on to wholesalers. Wholesalers sell on to end people, the consumers themselves, or through the shops. So we haven't got a clue where our products are available. Now, that is a problem for a brand, because if you don't know where your product is available, you also don't know how it is being sold. Imagine your beer brand is being sold as buy two of the 2 cases of the rival beer brand and get 1 case of our brand free. But all of a sudden, you're seen as a cheap giveaway rather than the premium product.
It devalues the brand for sure.
It also affects the data, the information, which customers are interested in this. It's obviously, this is all GDPR compliant, which is very important, because, whilst I love certain brands, that doesn't mean that I'm going to tell everybody, particularly not those brands, that I love it. This is my address. Here I am. Here's my birthday. Here's my inside leg measurement. And they can't come to me and say, Richard, why do you no longer love our brand? Can we woo you? Can we get you back? And that empowers me as a consumer to say, you know what? I like these, and let's see what they offer me. And if somebody is just basically wasting the chance of the relationship with me, then I will, cut them off my list. The key thing about this is making sure that the brand can reward the, the user, that the user is rewarded for contributing to the community. We all rely on community-driven systems, be that, you know, the TripAdvisors of this world, you know, through to a review on Amazon. But how many people contribute to those things? Well, not that many. Here we're just saying the information points as you're going along. That is an immediate reward system. It's very easy to make sure that information that is being put in is good quality. And for the retailers, it's basically the brands driving people to the store, which is great. Why would a business not want their suppliers to drive traffic, footfall in retail terms, or online traffic in e-commerce terms? Why would they not want that? Of course they want that. And that is to the benefit of all parties. So really the brand and the consumer, they meet at a retailer, be it online or offline. They're meeting at a retailer. Very often the retailer isn't really the main criteria. You know, you don't say, I'm never going to go to B&Q. You know, you go there because you want a certain product, certain brand. The retailer is very often, especially in small retail, is quite incidental, but they want that traffic. They want to be the shop. And of course, when you're in a shop because you went in for one product, you end up walking out with a few others. So that really drives consumer behavior. You discover what is available in the shops around you.
You talked before very lightly about, and I mean, you just glanced upon it, Lollicash. What are you talking about there?
Lollicash is a points system, and it's based on kind of blockchain system, but it's essentially points that are going to be used within the system, can be redeemed within the system. The important part of that, and why it's not a straightforward, as it were, crypto token, is that the trade in these and the selling of it is really not important to the actions of the users, or indeed to Lolly. You know, the fact that you can exchange these for others or whatever is not a central part of this. What is central is that people can use this for marketing their own businesses or for making some money as a partner of ours, you know, a local partner, reselling and so forth, rather than here is a token that could be used with such and such a smart contract, but in actual fact, everybody just wants to exchange. That is something that we wanted to avoid the complexity of.
So basically Lollicash is a cryptocurrency, and it's obviously going to have its home on a blockchain. Which blockchain are you using?
Internally, we're using multi-chain, and we've also built a system so that there will be an Ethereum version of it. We are still working out how we're doing this. Some of the partners that we're working with, Lolly is a, you know, cryptocurrency that is essentially points system that is a stable fixed amount, and the main place that you redeem it is with Lolly itself. And that means then that further places of, you know, for redemption, such as businesses and brands, can be involved, but that will then be more on a partial basis. So buy this at this discount for such and such an amount in US dollars and so many points, which essentially gives the party that is accepting points, gives them marketing spend. Now, if I offer you a 50% discount and say, but you can pay the other 50% in points, then as a consumer, you feel you've saved 50%.
I just have to ask you, what made you come up with this idea?
You know, I've been originally in the video games industry for 20 years. And that is all about the customer experience. And we're in the video games industry back in the days also when the products were sold in boxes in stores, you know, shipping to the Walmarts and HMVs and such of this world. Now, that is, if you were shipping video games or you're shipping tins of peas, it is exactly the same distribution. Distribution, market development funds, cooperative marketing, you know, shopfront displays, etc., etc. From the video games industry, then moved into creating advertising products, largely because we were I was selling lots of video games that would then be, you know, put into boxes of cereals and such, you know, for quite a long time. There was, you could hardly have a breakfast in Europe without having a box with a CD-ROM of one of my games in there. And we did that with, you know, everyone from McDonald's to Kit Kat to Kellogg's. And that then moved on to creating actual branded products and branded experiences.
So how long has Lolly been in the planning stages?
This has been in planning for quite some time, because when you have multiple parties involved, businesses, brands and such, the first way of solving this is essentially a directory. And you then quite quickly realize that as a directory, this doesn't work. The problem with directories is that you and I need to use the same terminology to be able to go down the directory tree to land at the same place. So then that has to be completely flat. You don't want to say, I'm interested in power drills. Okay, what kind of power drill? Oh, I'm interested in a screwdriver, electric screwdriver. Okay, what do you want? One with battery, or do you want to plug in one? That is work. That is not a customer experience. I want to be able to just type exactly what I want. It auto completes immediately. So on our app, you're literally typing the first one or two letters, and it's already giving you results. But it's not just giving you results of, you know, words that fit, but it also figures out what you're probably writing and already starts showing you brands that fit.
So in terms of where this is going to go in the future, you have a cryptocurrency, which is built into the whole entire reward system and payment system. And it looks like it's very well developed in terms of how it's going to be, not only within the strategy, but the roadmap. So are you actually looking to do an ICO or STO or whatever three letters that come out next? Or are you looking at VCs for the major funding so that you don't have to get embroiled in this whole ICO bag?
At the moment, we are raising funds through VCs, business angels, and so forth, and are planning in the future to do an STO once that is all set. One of the key things that we're doing with the Lolly Cash is we are allowing users to essentially buy an exclusivity in their town to sell Lolly services, be that a coupon service, for instance, so that people can essentially build their own micro businesses on Lolly, because funnily enough, all micro businesses are essentially a location-based business anyway. Even online businesses are location-based businesses. By creating location-based businesses, we want to make sure that we have got people with the local knowledge. It's bizarre that the most information about your town where you are now is probably held in California by Google, and that they know all this stuff about your town, even though maybe there's never been a Google employee there ever, and certainly not on behalf of Google. So what we're doing is trying to make sure that we have that the users are also able to participate in this and make some money and create a business within Lolly. But rather than just saying, here you go, here's a commission, we are saying, well, look, you build this up and then you can sell it, build up that business, build up the audience, and then sell it on to someone else. So it becomes somewhere between a franchise and your own business that is built on top of this. And I think that is going to be very valuable to the end users, and it's definitely going to be very valuable to us and the whole Lolly community, that there is some real local knowledge and somebody actually has walked down that street and actually can provide some customer service.
And that's what your app is aiming to do, make life easy. And really, not just for the consumers, but for the brands themselves, to make sure that they're also not wasting their, it is hard-earned money. They're hard-earned money, which can be wasted very easily on marketing efforts, which are not reaching the right end users. And also to make sure that the end users themselves are getting the best quality of product. I would say that this sounds like one of your key USPs.
Yeah, the customer acquisition cost is something that in kind of online marketing, people always consider. But in offline marketing, it's often kind of not completely missed. It's not calculated with the same kind of metrics as in online marketing, because how do you calculate it? You know, if I click on an ad online, then I can be tracked. If I drive past some outdoor marketing, or I see a TV ad, well, it's just one of the audience, right? And, you know, those figures are, you know, rounded to the closest, you know, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. It is not a one-on-one thing. And so a lot of it is lost. That is a serious problem. And so when you have your two biggest, you know, spends, budgets that you've got to spend money on, which is your marketing and your sales network, people often forget that sales being available in stores often costs money. You have to get listed in the store. You might have to pay for the shelf space. You might have to have six meetings with the head buyer before there's a few sample stores start stocking your product. You might have to be doing competitions and discounts and so forth all the time. You know, you can't just put stuff on the shelf and then hope that it will be sold. And because if it's not sold, it's coming back and there's not going to be another order. So that's why they're spending the marketing money. But as I say, if your marketing money is saying effectively, good luck finding our product, and if you do, would you please buy one? That's a bit wishy-washy for your huge marketing and sales budgets.
So this is obviously going to be, it's going to be global, and it's going to be a big task, isn't it, to make this app work in the way that you're envisaging it? Or do you have everything already in place?
Technically, everything is in place. What we're doing is partnerships with some of the big media agencies that, you know, maintain the relationships and the marketing job for a big brands out there. As a global product, I mean, we will be, you know, focusing on different markets, you know, as we go along. But as a global product, one of the things that's very important is to try and make it available in the language that the person wants to use. Now, just because you are in a market doesn't mean that you want to just use that local language. You know, you don't go on holiday to Kenya and then all of a sudden start searching for your products and brands in Swahili, right? That's highly unlikely. But if you are a Swahili speaker who is on holiday in Norway, then it would be nice if you can search in Swahili and find the same as a local Norwegian. So that is another thing that our app can do. We are basically ready to launch. So it should be during the course of February and March that everything gets up to speed. We'll also have, you know, a system for the Lolly Cash so that people can sign up and get free Lolly Cash for using the system, invite their friends and so forth, so that people can really benefit from this and use this, you know, redeem this within the value proposition is very good for installing this app. But we all know how people are with regards to using apps or sites and such. It is a real incentive if people can be part of this and earn rewards. It's about making sure that the time, the user's personal time is valued by us as well. I want to make sure that people are really rewarded here for their time, and that we treat their time with the respect that it deserves.
I just want to thank you. It's good. I think it's going to be very well received, regardless of what end of the spectrum, what kind of brand loyalty they have, and no matter what kinds of products they are normally looking at buying. This looks like it's going to be a game changer. So I would like to thank you so much, Richard, for joining us. The listeners of this podcast may also wish to log on to lolly.cash. That's lolly.cash, lolly.cash, where you can sign up for the app and also for rewards.
Stay tuned
and
for more
even airdrops. So again, look at lolly.cash and join today. If you have any other questions, you can just email us here at Crypto and Blockchain Talk, and that is education@savvydigital, SAVII digital.com. And we would love to hear any questions that you have. And of course, we'll forward them directly to Richard. Again, I would like to thank Richard for coming and joining us today on Crypto and Blockchain Talk. We look forward to having you as our listener again next week. And please don't forget to like us on Twitter and Facebook. And don't forget that you can tell your friends and family they can download us today on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbeam, and Spotify. Thank you for joining us this week, and we look forward to having you as our guest again soon. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.